o'clock hour. Happy Wednesday afternoon, Northern Colorado. This is the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. I'm live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. It's draft night, Colfax. Yeah, I mean, it's Susan and Cheryl are so excited. For many reasons, though, this feels like one of the more underwhelming drafts in a while. I mean, you have some decent players, but I mean, none of these guys are the Zions or even Buddy Hield. I was thinking about him the other day, who might be a free or a guy that the Nuggets could look at. I mean, LaMelo Ball, another Ball, yeah, and he's in the news again today. Saying, I mean, Colfax, this is the stuff he used to say is pretty harmless overall, but what he said recently, I mean, he's back in the news the day of the draft. First off, he said that President Trump lost re-election because of their 2017 feud. If they would have worked that out, he'd still be president, is what he went on to say. Then he goes on to say, New York Post has this. LaVar Ball goes on and say, can I say, I don't know, I think I can say this word on the air. He basically said that his kids are never going to meet nice women while they play basketball. They're not going to find nobody like I found your mom. If you're in the profession, you got all this fame and notoriety. How are you going to meet a good girl? You're not. So I hate to tell you, but you're going to meet a ho. Just how it goes, son. So, son, that's the bad part of the life you're going to get. You're never going to meet a good woman. The day of the draft, his other son might be drafted number one, and that's how he makes the headlines. This was harmless earlier, this one.
Like I said before, it's only two dudes better than me, and I'm both of them.
Listen, there are ways he could have said and achieved the goal he was trying to get at. He could have said, hey, you might not own true love, because you have a lot of money. Men or women can do this on both sides. Maybe they look you up, because there are cases, and if you think I'm being sexist, then you're naive. There are cases of both men and women seeking out other men and women with money, finding them, working out a relationship. That's how it goes. Sometimes that happens. He could have said it in a way that didn't come across as so absolutely, I guess, sexist and wrong and, again, taking the limelight away from LaMelo Ball. Is LaMelo Ball going to go number one tonight? Can only imagine what Papa's going to say after that. I mean, Minnesota's got that first-round pick. Golden State's number two, so who's going to get that spot? But Anthony Edwards? Edwards might go number one. It's kind of an underwhelming spot here, which is kind of like, you know, the Nuggets being at 22. It's not that big of a deal. Denver has fared fairly well with their draft picks when they reloaded this organization and started getting fairly high draft picks, you know, getting Jamal Murray at seven. Was it seven? Gary Harris through the Chicago trade situation, getting him around 14, and then Nikola Jokic in the second. So, I mean, I don't know how you want to view this draft. It's not like of the utmost importance for the Nuggets to land here. There's a few guys on this. I mean, Cole Anthony, I was watching the NBA TV mock draft last night. They have Cole Anthony going 20, the point guard out of North Carolina. And, I mean, that to me seems realistic. You could trade around and do that. But what is it going to take for Denver to move around in the draft? So, again, our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day is up. What are the Nuggets going to do with that pick with number 22? It rhymes. What are the Nuggets going to do with pick number 22? Man, I should win Top Text Tuesday. Are they going to draft a guard? Like a ball-handling guard? Guy that maybe more of a Swiss Army knife type guard? Good defensive player? You know, he's a good facilitator. Maybe kind of like a Monte Morris? Or are they going to draft a shooting guard? Like a sharp shooting... Not like a shooting guard, but just a sharp shooting guard. A great shooter. Could have worded that differently. It doesn't matter. It's done now. Draft a forward. Draft a big man to be your backup center. If you're not confident in Bol Bol in his progression, trade up. Move around. See if you can snag a Cole Anthony or a Sadiq Bey, the power forward out of Villanova. Or do you trade down and say, you know what? We don't even need a first-round pick this year. Let's just package it, see what we could stock up for a rainy day, because maybe this draft isn't that important to us. I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know that it's going to be that important to a lot of teams. Free agency start is on Friday, I believe. That's where we're going to get... That's when things are going to get exciting around here. You know, just to see if the Nuggets make any moves. There's a part of my brain that thinks the biggest move for the Nuggets is basically hope and pray that Michael Porter Jr. takes that next step. And that's kind of where it is. And that's been the way the Nuggets have gone. I mean, last year, Colfax, I didn't think the Nuggets needed to get crazy in the draft. Ended up getting Bol Bol. I didn't think they needed to get crazy because, you know, we just want to see the Joker get better. We want to see Jamal Murray get better. Well, I think it's safe to say that all happened, right? Is that going to happen with MPJ? Does that trend keep going? And again, offensively, yeah, I think that's an easy answer. He's only going to get better at offense. Defense, he has no base, really. There's nothing redeemable, really, about his defensive play, save for his rebounding. He's a good rebounder, both offense and defense. So, do you stay the course, really? And I mean, maybe you do draft somebody at 22 that could be more of a project, I guess. Somebody that comes on, you know, in half a year to a year. It's going to be interesting, man. Tyrell Terry was the guy that I saw on the list as far as who the Nuggets might take in the mock draft. And, you know, he's more of a Monte Morris-type guard. So that would be interesting if they go that route. That was the mock draft last night. They didn't spend much time on it. Which, again, I think it also shows you the NBA's viewing this draft as meaningless for Denver. I mean, they're spending 10, 15 minutes on each guy and who's going to get drafted. But then when it came to the Nuggets, it was more of a, this is who they're going to get, the Stanford point guard, Tyrell Terry. Well, I'm going back and forth with my guy. We've had him on this program before, Nico Carvacho, the rebound superstar out of Colorado State, now playing overseas. I tweeted out the picture. I said, hey, I'm watching some NBA TV mock draft. They have Tyrell Terry going to Denver. Thoughts? He messaged me, and I don't give you all the details. We just went back and forth, and I asked him. I said, because he knows him. Nico played with him. He's like, that's my guy. They were at Indy training over the summer, so they know each other. And I said, hey, give me your honest feedback. Is he an immediate type guy, or is he move to the next season type player? And he said, yeah, he might take a little time to get used to the game, especially in a short time. But he's a great shooter, excellent point guard, and most importantly, he's a great guy. Which is, I don't know if it's most importantly nowadays, right? But you do want to have guys that buy into your philosophy. Good dudes. The Nuggets are collectively a group of good dudes. Golden State, other than Draymond Green, they're all pretty damn good dudes. Draymond's not a bad dude. He's just, he can throw down if he needs to. Do we want another good dude, Colfax, or do you need somebody with... You're not going to draft somebody tonight that's going to come on and give you that championship attitude that you need. But when do you start looking at it saying, all right, we want to get to that next step, so who's going to help us tonight do that? You're not going to find somebody tonight that's going to help you this upcoming season that much. Unless it's kind of more of a surprise. You're drafting at 22. It'll be interesting. First Advantage text line 31996. Your thoughts on this one? Who do you think the Nuggets are going to go with as far as positions? I didn't put names up there because, I mean, honestly, there's 10 to 20 names I could easily see the Nuggets picking here. So I just put kind of some positions up, what you think they might do. Our boy BJ Hill commenting saying, hey, they should just package this deal, do something with it, because there's nobody in the draft for him this year. Maybe that's true. We are going to get Chris Dempsey on the program in the second hour. Looking forward to that. Tied right now between trade down and draft a sharp shooting guard. Yeah, the biggest need is, well, you got to have some defense, especially if you think that you're going to have a life without Gary Harris, and that's still yet to be seen. They'd have to trade him away. But you do need some more shooting. You just don't have sharp shooters on this team. You don't. Jamal can get hot, but, you know, I guess he's kind of a sharp shooter, but he's a point guard. You know, and the way you facilitate this offense is through Jamal, through Nikola Jokic. You need another guy when times get tough and they start doubling up on Nikola at the top of the key. They start trying to really hedge out and stop those pick and rolls. Who can you dish it over to across the court that's going to give you a 40% shot of hitting a three-pointer? Well, Buddy Hield, again, that 40% three-point guy. So, I mean, that's what you're looking for. So I can see why you're there. The smallest amount says drafted forward. So interesting, because that's another going to be a need if they don't stick with Paul Millsap. And if Plumlee moves on, well, Plumlee's center, forward, whatever we want to call him. And then Jeremy Grant opted out, so he's expected to. That's not a for sure thing. That's not a given. That's the crazy part about tonight's draft is you don't know if you're re-signing Paul Millsap. I could not. A month ago I said odds are no, he's not coming back. But you don't know what you're doing yet. There's no guarantee that Grant's going to stay in Denver. So where do you go with this? And if Grant doesn't stay in Denver, that changes things big time for Denver, by the way. Really banking on him sticking around and looking at Denver first to make that offer. But Denver has to also be careful with that salary cap. So your thoughts there, go to thewholeshow.com and vote our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. What would you like to see this Denver team do tonight with that 22nd pick overall in the draft? 17 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a short break here, Colfax. Before we do, shout out to Fresh Coat Painters of South Platte. Get a free mini cooler just by calling them. And a free painting quote while you're at it. 970-414-4131. That's 970-414-4131. Power to Play Sports poll question. What would you like to see the Nuggets do tonight with that draft? Do they just package it up? Don't do anything with it. Don't take 22. Trade out of the first round and get a utility guy in the second and go from there. Or move up. Get a little aggressive here. What would that take? It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Catch Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency Allstate Insurance. Tuesday nights, Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. If you want to text the program, text us. First Advantage text line 31996. Now, there's some rules changing in the cell phone world, Colfax. our text line is going to be changing. We're still figuring it out right now. We do our text line here at the station through Slick Text. Overall, this is global. They're going to stop with the six-digit text lines for, I think, a lot of people. I don't know. We're still getting details there. So we will have a new number at some point. I believe right now, though, if you're a subscriber to our text line, you're already in. It's going to really affect, to my knowledge right now, it's going to affect the new subscribers. So we'll have that number out. We'll get that ready for you when the time comes. But as of right now, Hooligans, you're safe. If you're subscribed already, you're still a part of our text club. And, you know, sometimes if I don't read your text, it's not because I think it's a crappy text, which happens a lot. It could be because we actually don't get it. So just let us know. Shoot us an email, brady@1310kfka.com, if you're texting and you feel for some reason it's not getting through. But as of right now, we got all your texts for Top Text Tuesday yesterday. So we're still, and the powers that be are still working with the Slick Text community about what our station text line is looking like. So I wanted to update you guys just so you had that information available to you. Also want to thank Windsor Mill Tavern. They're in the newly remodeled historic Windsor Mill. They're on Main Street there. They got fresh takes on classic shareable American food, your cheeseburgers, all that good stuff. But they also have some unique items as well, though. The wild game meatloaf, game sausages, great range bison, tenderloin. Man, when the whole shutdown happened back in March, seems like 18 years ago, I ordered to go the Great Range Bison Burger. And I don't know why it just sticks out in my head, because it was delicious. It was a crazy time. I was supporting a local business. It just felt like such a huge win, you know, that this place, Windsor Mill, they just started not too long ago. And then the shutdown hit. So they were like, what the hell are we going to do? And I go in to get the burger, and people are lining up. You know, they're 6 feet, whatever. They're doing the things, right? They're doing the things to support a local business. And I just, that sticks out to me. And again, that Great Range Bison Burger is amazing. I like bison burgers more than I do any other kind of burger. Check it out. Tell them we sent you Windsor Mill Tavern. I got a $20 gift certificate to give away. So let's do that now. Let's go caller number 5 on the First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310, or toll free 877-353-1310. Be caller number 5, and you got a $20 gift certificate to Windsor Mill Tavern, 970-353-1310. All right. The NBA announced the structure and format for the 2020-21 season Tuesday night, including how exactly the upcoming schedule will be released. The schedule will be released in two halves, what the league is calling the first half, and, wait for it, the second half. The schedule for the first half of the season, which will run from December 22nd to March 4th, will be released around the start of training camp set for December 1. Okay. The league won't release the schedule for the second half until later in the first half. Oh, okay. I'm trying to stay here. Trying to stay with it. That will include the rest of each team's 72 regular season games that weren't previously scheduled. Duh! as well as any games that were postponed in the first half. Okay, that part makes sense and can be reasonably added. The All-Star break is set to take place March 5th through the 10th between the two halves. The second half of the season will run March 11th to May 16th. Get this, Colfax. They're going to have a play-in tournament. The play-in tournament will be held from May 18th to the 21st before the playoffs tip off May 22nd. Each NBA team will play the teams within its conference three times for a total of 42 games, while playing the teams from opposing conference twice each, 30 games. Within each team's division, the league has already assigned which opponents will be played twice at home and which will be played twice on the road. Each division within a conference will then play all five teams from another interconference division twice at home and all five teams from the remaining division. The play-in tournament's what's is interesting to me. They're going to do a proposal on a one-year basis in a vote Thursday. The teams with the 7th and 8th highest winning percentage, so just the 7 and 8 seed, correct? Will have two chances to make the playoff. Well, no, not necessarily. We'll have two chances to make the playoffs, while the teams with the 9th and 10th highest winning percentage will have one chance. Huh? So, what's wrong with just going 1 through 8? So instead, if you're a 7th seeder, if you're in the 7th, so now, I guess this kind of makes it interesting. You really want to avoid not being a 7th seed, because then you have to have a play-in for it. If you're a 7th or 8th seed, you have, and that's how I'm reading it, they're saying best winning percentage. Isn't that same thing? Same thing, right? Records, because you go by records. 7, 8 seeds would have two chances to make it. And then a 9th and 10th would have a chance. Colfax, it does kind of prevent the tanking if you're sitting around 11, 12, 13, you could battle to still get in that 9, 10. It does eliminate some of the idea of tanking. The 7-8 game, 7th, 8th, will be between the teams ranked 7th and 8th. Oh, thank you. Thank you, ESPN. While the 9-10 game would be, Colfax, are you following along?
The 9th and 10th ranked?
You are exactly right. Yeah. They will feature the teams ranked 9th and 10th. The winner of the 7-8 game will advance to the playoffs. So just one game, that winner goes. The loser will host the winner of the 9-10 game. So even if you lose in that 7-8 spot, you still have a shot to get back in. You'll play host to the winner of the 9-10 game. Okay. All right. That's what do you think? Initial thoughts here. I'm not crazy about gimmicks, But I like it better than their half-season, mid-season championship idea that they came up with, which isn't going to happen this season. I don't hate it. Now, let's look back. So who would this be? Let's go to the Western Conference. This would be, so Memphis, excuse me. Dallas would play Portland. One game, winner goes in. Let's just say Portland wins. They're in. Okay, Dallas, you're still alive, but now you have to play the winner between Memphis and Phoenix. And then that's it. Winner moves on. So you are rewarding teams that don't make it in to that spot, to that seventh and eighth spot. Unfair to the seventh and eighth guys, right? You work all season to get to 7-8, so that's a little tough. Denver's going to have to make sure they don't end in that. That's a one game. The problem I have with this, Colfax, is the same problem I have with baseball. When they go series, one wild card game, then playoff series. Baseball's all about a series, right? Then they just suddenly play one in a normal season. COVID threw everything off, right? But in a normal season, they have the wild card game. It's the one win. Winner moves on to the playoffs. That's why it's weird to me, because it's like, okay, you're changing the landscape of everything here. This is the same thing. You're going to play 72 games, just regular, random, whatever. But the rest of the playoffs are going to still be the best of seven, except for these play-in games. How do we ask this in a poll question? Are you a fan of the play-in format, the new play-in format that the NBA is introducing? And some of you are going to read that poll question and you're going to go, what is it? 7 and 8 play each other. 9 and 10 play each other. Winner of 7 and 8 is in the playoffs. I'm guessing they'd be the seventh seed then. They'd earn the seventh seed. And then the loser of that game would play the winner between 9 and 10. Winner moves on, and they're the eighth seed. You're going to try it this year. See if it works out. The only thing I really like about it is it does incentivize teams from tanking. So if you look at the standings from last year, how many teams were really in jeopardy of? So like Golden State was tanking. Minnesota was tanking. There were the only two teams, though. Because New Orleans was Phoenix, San Antonio, Sacramento, New Orleans. They missed the playoffs by, you know, New Orleans was 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. They were a 13 seed. I don't know why I'm calling it a seed, but 13th place. Two spots from the last place. But they had a realistic shot because they only finished 5 games out of the playoffs. And in this case, they would have only finished 2-3 games out of a play-in opportunity. So does that incentivize teams to keep going when there's 10 games left rather than just, you know what, we're tanking, we're done. We got 10 more meaningful games here. Better for the fans on that side of it, but a little confusing, a little unfair to the 7 and 8 seed. I mean, I didn't really have a problem with the way it was, but you got to prevent tanking. Is this their attempt to try to prevent some of that? Because your bottom two or three teams are still going to tank. 31 minutes after the hour, Colfax, we're going to switch gears. We're talking Colorado. What are they doing? We know they don't have a game scheduled yet this weekend. CSU, UNLV, snip snap. It has not officially been reported that it's canceled, but it still sounds like it might. So it's Wednesday afternoon. We'll find out. 32 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
That's kind of fitting, right? A little birdie tells me, or a little horsey tells me, that we got our guy, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, what are you sitting on right at this moment?
I'm sitting on a beautiful horse right now in Golden, and a friend and I, my buddy Luke and I, are doing some riding, some training, and so we're having a good time. Beautiful day, man. It was like 65 degrees down here.
Yeah, it's a perfect day for that, my friend. See, you know me, Mark. I grew up on a farm and a ranch, but unfortunately, I was not very good with horses. So once I had some money, I bought a four-wheeler. So can I join you on my four-wheeler once, or would that be inappropriate?
Well, I don't think we should be mixing breeds like that. But that's fun.
Mark, have a good day, man. I mean, that's, like you said, it's a beautiful day, of course. A man of many talents. He can ride a horse while talking to us about the Colorado Buffaloes. And, Mark, what do we know, man? I mean, we're hearing obviously no game at this point for the Buffs.
Yep.
Up north, there's weird stuff going on, too. We don't know what Colorado State's going to do, but there's no real possibility, right, of if UNLV CSU doesn't happen, CU CSU. That's not a realistic thing, correct?
Well, I don't know that I'd agree with that. I mean, if you saw the news just today, and listen, let me give this precursor here. I have not heard anything specific, so what I'm about to tell you is nothing more than my observation and my opinion. The Pac-12, John Wilner reported this morning that the Pac-12 is going to recommend to the Board of Governors for their vote that they allow Pac-12 teams to play out of conference if it makes sense geographically.
Hmm.
All right? So if that does happen, which Wilner's about, I told you before, there's nobody I trust more in a conference than John Wilner. So if he's saying it, I believe it's probably going to happen. If that's the case, and if UNLV is unable to go, and, you know, the Buffaloes are free this weekend and the Rams are free this weekend, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying there'd be opportunity for that to happen. So I'd certainly get a kick out of it if it did. I think fans certainly would as well. The Buffs have already got an 8 p.m. Mountain Time TV slot on ESPN set aside this weekend where their game was supposed to be with Arizona State. So, hey, you know what? If you're dressed for a party and I'm dressed for a party, let's go to the party, right?
Now, it's funny, Mark. I was texting you, was it Monday? We talked to Coach Carl Durrell, and at that point he even said it. He's like, man, I might know something Thursday. Who knows? But yeah. I text you, and I said, hey, we're getting listeners that are like, yeah, CSU would gladly move away from that UNLV game. Obviously, they can't just say, no, we don't want to play a Mountain
right.
West opponent.
Right.
But then the very next day, we hear that maybe they're going to cancel. Maybe that's not going to happen this week. So suddenly, my ridiculous text to you Monday wasn't really a joke anymore. It was kind of a serious question.
Well, I think, you know, listen, I mean, it's where we're at right now. Everyone's got to be nimble and flexible. And if this is happening, I mean, I just saw that SMU's game's been canceled and a couple of others have. And so it's happening around the country. And so if there's an opportunity, I think everyone's at the point right now where if there's an opportunity and it makes sense from a health standpoint, if everyone's been testing well and both the teams that all of a sudden are left without a dance partner, if they're okay, they've followed the protocols, like I said, geographically it makes sense. I don't think the Buffs want to go and play. You know, I think didn't Wake Forest game get canceled or something? So I don't think they want to go all the way out to the East Coast and play. But if there's somebody kind of in your region and you trust that they've been following their protocols, everything, you know, seems to line up, why not? I mean, there's football to be played. There's television slots to fill. There's money to be made off of that. The athletes want to play. Everyone wants to get back in the field. And for Colorado, you're 2-0 right now. You're playing fantastic. You don't want to let the momentum kind of die off here. So why not? I think it would just make perfect sense.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right, and we'll keep on the news today. Who knows? We could hear something while we're talking, Mark. Who knows with Colorado State and UNLV situation?
And I was going to say, here's the way this is probably going to work. We saw this with Cal and UCLA last week, Brady, and it's going to happen late. You know, I would be shocked if we hear something today. My guess would be, you know, Thursday afternoon, maybe even Friday morning. And the thing that makes this so I think, possible, if that UNLV thing doesn't work out, there's no flight involved, there's no hotels involved, it's get a couple of buses, one school head up to, you know, 45, 50 miles to the other one to play a football game, and it's an easy fix for both of them. So there's a lot of reasons why this would make sense. And again, I'll say all this with a caveat that I know nothing specific. I'm just saying, you know, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, why not, you know, call it a duck and go duck?
Hey, I'm with you 100%. We're seeing it. It makes perfect sense. Make it work. That's what we're learning, is coaches are all about preparation and doing everything the exact same way over and over and over and over and over again. Well,
yep.
This year has taught us that maybe that's not necessary anymore. They can change on a fly.
Well, and they can. And, you know, I thought about that last week with Cal UCLA, and I talked to a number of the guys in the coaching staff about that. I said, you guys are such creatures of habit in terms of how you prepare, what you do in preparation, how you get your teams ready. And all of a sudden, if you're on the staff at Cal UCLA, it's forget everything we talked about all week. Let's go. We're playing somebody else. But both schools would be in the same position, right? Both would have, and I guarantee you this as well. So knowing the way that football coaches work in the offseason, being that that was already going to be the first game, I guarantee you that both those coaches had put some thought into a game plan to play one another and then all of a sudden go back and look at it right now and go, okay, we hadn't finished everything because everything blew up, but we had started looking at it. We had looked at some tape. We kind of know what they're all about. And so this wouldn't be, I don't think, just starting from scratch if it were to happen.
Well, yeah, it's going to be very interesting. And like you said earlier, though, the Buffs really won a game because, I think this is a surprise, right? The Buffs start out the season 2-0, have so many great things to talk about. Is this Buffs team? I mean, again, this year's so strange, but is this Buffs team for real?
I think so. I mean, the way they played, I mean, as real as you can be in 2020, let's put it right, right? Because with all the preparation, I do think there's been a lot of inconsistencies in college football if you look around the country at all the different games. But I think what Carl Durrell and this staff have done, getting these guys ready to play the consistent football they have. Now, yes, they've had some issues on defense that they've got to continue to work on. They've given up some yardage, given up some points, but they've made big plays when they had to. They forced some turnovers. The offense, obviously, has been fantastic. So, listen, I'm buying stock, I'll tell you that much, because what Sam Noyer has done, what that offensive line has done, I think what we've learned about Jerick Richard, I think that wide receiver core is supremely talented. And I think Colorado's a pretty darn good football team. So, yeah, that's it's on top of just a selfish reason you want to keep going, I want to keep seeing this football team play because I do think they're good. I do think they've got an opportunity, albeit a strange year, they've got an opportunity to, I think, really make some noise this season.
Man, and if they do, Mark, imagine that storyline. I mean, Carl Durrell, they're going to lift him up, man. He's going to be sitting on a throne, and the whole city of Boulder is going to be lifting him up because of all the Mel Tucker stuff and all the demise that this team was going to be going. And he could be, 2-0. I mean, I'm already pretty happy with that.
All right. You know, hey, you mentioned Carl Durrell. That was my other favorite thing this week. When I heard that Michigan State was supposed to play Maryland, and Maryland had blown up with some COVID stuff, I thought, well, there's a game for you. How about
Let's
that?
Let's do it. I would love to see that.
If it didn't work out with the Rams, let's get Mel Tucker to come on back to Boulder and welcome he gets.
Man, that would be great. Well, let's talk. I was talking to him on Monday, and I said, Coach, I saw you on the sidelines when Sam Noyer does his little hurdle karate jump thing, and he had his mask on. But I said, were you panicking a little bit seeing your quarterback jumping in the air like that, trying to hurdle a defender? I love everything about Sam Noyer. In fact, I love that. But at the end of the day, Mark, he's got to be careful because if he hurdles and he gets hurt, whatever. I mean, all these fun things we're talking about with the Buffs, he's proven that good already that would be a huge issue if he jumps and gets hurt.
Well, and we taped TV yesterday with Sam, and I gave him a hard time. I talked with Carl about this. I don't think your coach is real impressed with you pullback all the time out there. He said, listen, I've been talking to you about it. He said, I get competitive, and, I joked with Sam. I said, hey, listen, when John Elway did the helicopter deal, he was going for the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he was going for the whole bag of marbles right there. You can't do that every single game, right? Keep that for when we're playing Alabama in the national championship. Then you can hurdle to get yourself into the end zone. But no. He's got to start learning to play smart. He's athletic. He's very good. He really is quite fun to watch with the ball in his hands. But you've got to know when you're going to drop the head and try and make a play and when you're just going to slide and pick up the extra yardage you need. And so that's part of the transition for Sam Noyer. You know, somebody reminded me of this the other day. As great as Sam has been playing, because this year doesn't take away any eligibility if Sam wanted to, and I don't want to put the cart ahead of the horse here. We got a lot of football, hopefully, in front of us. But Sam could potentially come back and play another year and continue his development as quarterback, which is kind of exciting if you're a CU fan to think about.
Oh, no question about it. So, Mark, on the Mel Tucker thing, Mel gets Sam and puts him back at the, I'm guessing, right, he makes the decision to put him back at the safety side. Carl Durrell flips it around, says, we'll put him back to quarterback. I mean, that right there, isn't that a huge victory for Carl Durrell versus Mel Tucker?
Well, I think so. But, somebody asked me that the other day, and I said, listen, Mel was in a tough situation. You've got Steven Montez.
That's
who,
true.
Statistically speaking, is leaves here as one of the great quarterbacks of all time and has got a cannon for an arm and is an NFL-caliber guy. That's why he's still, hanging around in the NFL right now. And you got a guy that you know is talented, but he's a heck of an athlete. You're thinking, well, I can probably get him on the field at safety. But it was just a tough situation. It's not like Sam was or Melweather was going to come in and bench a three-year starter at that point in time for a guy that nobody knew anything about. And so it makes Carl look real smart on this end, and maybe Mel look not so smart in the front end. But I think in all objectivity, I understand what Mel was doing.
I think Buffs fans are just looking for any of those things, right? They're just looking for any of that. And so far, so good. Carl is this – Coach Durrell, he's just a great guy. He's – you know, Mel really? Tucker wasn't a bad guy. But Coach Durrell, you talk to him and – He sounds like he's a great family man. You can just hear it in his voice. I'm really excited now seeing what they're doing on the field and talking to him a bit and hearing you talk to him. I'm pretty excited about the future for the Buffs, regardless of what happens this year.
Well, I am. And you know, I do know that you know when Mel left late like he did and Carl was brought in, did it win the press conference from a national perspective? Probably not. You know, were people around the country going, holy cow. You know, I've always said I'm less worried about winning a press conference and worried than I am about winning football games.
Yeah.
And this may turn out to be an unbelievable blessing for the University of Colorado and a phenomenal hire by Rick George, because I think when it's all said and done, and there's nothing that's happened in the last, what, 8-9 months that Carl's been here, I believe he's the right guy at the right time because of his demeanor, how he handles himself. The way he directs a football team. Boy, every one of the players, Brady, that I talk to says the same thing about it. I say, well, how do you like playing for Carl Durrell? They say the same thing. You know exactly what is expected. There is no excuse for not taking care of your job. There's no gray area. There's no screaming and hollering. It's, you know, Carl is what Carl is. He's just very steady. I think I've said it before on the scale of 1 to 10. He kind of moves between a 4 and a 6 all the time. And so players fully understand what is expected, what their job is, and what they're supposed to do, and there's no gray area. And if they don't do what they're supposed to do, he makes it very clear that you didn't. And so I think we, you know, anybody who's ever been an employee, if you've got a boss that lays things out in front of you and you know exactly what the expectations are, what the job is, you appreciate that because there's no surprises. And I think when it's all said and done, Carl Durrell might have been a phenomenal hire. Mel Tucker leaving for Michigan State might have been the best thing to ever happen to Colorado football.
Yeah, well, either way, man, I know we're excited for now. We'll see. We'll keep our eyes on it. I keep refreshing every 30 seconds here just to see what happens with CU, with what's going on with CSU, and more. Mark, you got your partners in crime with you today. Are your dogs out there with you, too?
They are, but when I get to, in the arena here, I put the dogs in the horse trailer. So they're sitting in the horse trailer. I don't want to get them to get underfoot here. So we've been working in the arena, and dogs are just about to get let out to have some fun. So I don't let him get out here because the last thing I need is for him to get underfoot of the horse and something bad happen to me or the horse or one of the dogs.
No question about it, man. Love the pictures. Love following you on the social media side of things, too. Mark, appreciate you, man. And be careful. Don't get bucked off or anything like that, all right? Just be careful.
No, guarantee that won't happen. And next week we'll be talking, by the way, we'll be talking some basketball because, you know, next Wednesday, in fact, the Buffs open up the basketball season.
So that's right. Now it's like, you know, you and I were talking about the weather for the last 6 months. Now we actually have so much stuff to talk about, we miss things. So I'm excited about that basketball program, too.
So when you talk to me next week, I'm actually going to be in Kansas. I'll be going to field hunting birds. You call me, and then we'll go to a basketball game afterwards.
I think we're just going to start coming in with nature music all the time, and then you come in, tell us where you are, and describe what you're hunting and what. I think it'd be great. Mark,
it'd be a video segment every week.
I think it'd be great. I think it'd be fantastic, man. You let me know. I'll join you, too. I'll be the idiot that doesn't know anything. So that's, I can play that role pretty well. Mark, we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
All right,
9 minutes until the top of the hour. Mark Johnson. I mean, he's like the Michael Rowe guy. He's like Bear Grylls. He's like all those guys. I want him to call in next week and tell me how he's going to survive and all that stuff, man. I mean, he's like the real deal, isn't he? 9 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a short break here. It's NBA draft night. We got that. We're keeping our eyes on Twitter and the news cycle. CSU UNLV, according to Steve Adazio, is ready to go. It's happening. Yesterday it wasn't. Now it is. Where did that scoop come from Football Scoop? Does that hurt their credibility? Probably. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
All right, as of now, Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and Justin Michael from DNVR Rams. They're all tweeting that this is the CSU UNLV game is a go at this stage. So yesterday we see a report that says this game's not happening, and then the same reporter from Football Scoop wrote back, "Oh, I guess not. I guess it's not. It is happening, or at least it hasn't been canceled." But we're seeing that there's a lot of cancel. Or there's a lot of cases going on with UNLV at this stage. So I'm not sure what that means. He did walk it back. If he hadn't walked it back, then you'd still wonder if it's going to happen, but he walked it back. So I guess it is happening now. So it sure sounds like it. We'll keep checking for you. As of right now, though, expect CSU UNLV to play Saturday. But it is Wednesday, Colfax. We have several days for this thing to fall through the cracks. Second hour coming up, NBA draft talk, NBA talk with our guy, Chris Dempsey from DenverNuggets.com and Altitude TV. Second hour coming up next.